What's up, you guys, and welcome back to the Killer Crime Podcast. My name is Martha, and before we get stuck into today's case, I have a request for you guys. So Georgia and I want to start a series on our podcast called Close Calls. We want to hear from you guys. Have you ever had an experience that you managed to escape from? Maybe an attempted kidnapping, a rough Tinder date, a stalker? It can literally be anything. I myself have been in so many dangerous situations that I feel like other women could learn from. So if you have any stories that you wouldn't mind being featured on the podcast, please write to us on Instagram. The stories will be told anonymously as well to protect your privacy. Now let's get into it. So today we're going to be talking about the case of a man who, within a very short period of time, became incredibly paranoid and then was found brutally murdered in a parking lot. So what happened to Blair Adams? Blair was described by his friends and family as being a very friendly guy. Now, people he worked with described him as being a very aggressive and unfriendly person, so he seemed to act quite differently around different people. He was a construction worker in Surrey, BC, and was also unfortunately an alcoholic. However, by the age of 31, he was 2 years sober, but had stopped attending his AA meetings. By late June of 1996, Blair started to get really paranoid. His friends and family said that he started to get really aggressive and moody, and he was convinced that someone was following him and trying to kill him. His mom asked him what was going on, and he said, quote, "I don't think I should tell you about it," unquote. He did mention to her that someone was spreading rumors about him, but he also hadn't been sleeping well and was just totally not himself. On Friday, July 5th, 1996, Blair goes to the bank to withdraw almost all of his money. I believe this was around 6,000 Canadian dollars. He also decided to put all of his valuables, including his gold jewelry, into a fanny pack. Now, these valuables were worth thousands of dollars. Shortly after he does this, he tells his mom that something was bothering him, and he decides to take a last-minute trip to Courtenay, BC to visit his uncle. Now, I couldn't find anything about if the uncle had, like, anything to say about Blair's behavior anywhere, but I just couldn't find anything about it. On Sunday, July 7th, he tries to head back to Seattle by ferry, so he gets into his Chevrolet and heads to the dock. Now, unfortunately for Blair, border control stops him. He was a single man, traveling alone, with tons of money and valuables on his person, so they believed that he was a part of the drug trade and denied him entry into the States. He also lied to them about having no criminal history, but he had been convicted on drug and assault charges in the past. After being denied entry into the States, Blair decides he was going to go visit a friend in Vancouver. From there, he went to visit his friend in Westminster, and then went back to Surrey to see his mom. So, for our British listeners, yes, I'm still talking about Canada. In Surrey, he makes his way to his job and asks for his final check and then quits. He then heads to the airport and spends $1,600 on a round-trip ticket to Germany. Now, you may be like, what Germany? Why there? Well, Blair was actually working for his stepdad's construction company, and through this company, he had previously worked in Germany where he'd met a girlfriend. So, the police actually spoke to the girlfriend, and she knew nothing about this trip, and she only spoke kindly about Blair. Just hours after buying the ticket, Blair was desperate to get into the United States. He showed up at his friend's house and asked for a ride and said someone was trying to kill him. He was terrified, but his friend couldn't because she had kids and just couldn't up and leave. He'd also shown up at her house at midnight, and she was not interested in driving him to the border. Now, on Tuesday, July 9th, instead of heading to Germany, Blair turned in his tickets. No one's really sure if he got a refund or not, but either way, he did not want those tickets, and he rented a car and headed back to the border. So he somehow managed to get through this time. Now, Blair is in Seattle at this point, and he decides to buy a ticket to Washington, D.C. People find this bizarre because he paid $770 for a one-way ticket from Seattle to Washington, but he could have just bought a round-trip ticket for half the price. So, in my opinion, and I think most people's opinion, like, obviously he was in so much of a frenzy and was just so scatterbrained, the thought of having a round-trip ticket must have just freaked him out. He just wanted the one-way so nobody could track his whereabouts. He rented a car in Washington, D.C. and drove it to Knoxville, Tennessee. He arrived in Knoxville on July 10th. Now, investigators found this incredibly strange because as far as anybody was aware, he didn't know anybody in Tennessee. So, at around 5:30 that afternoon, he showed up to a gas station and he complained to the gas station attendant that his car wouldn't start. When the attendant was interviewed, he said that Blair wasn't all there. The attendant said that he asked Blair to check his pockets, but Blair wouldn't. Now, somebody had come to work on Blair's car because, remember, he said it wouldn't start. So they called somebody in to work on it. And this guy said he asked Blair to check his pockets for his keys, and he did. So I'm not entirely sure what was up with that. But either way, Blair couldn't seem to find his keys. Now, remember, Blair has rented two cars at this point, one which got him across the border to Seattle, and then another one when he arrived in Washington, D.C. from Seattle. So it is believed that he was trying to use the wrong keys to the wrong car and couldn't find his other ones. So this guy was just in a complete panic. Blair, however, was able to hitch a ride to a nearby hotel. The employee at the hotel described Blair to be paranoid. He was very nervous, agitated, expecting someone to come in on him, even though there wasn't anybody there. She said, "I don't know who he was looking for, but he was waiting for somebody to walk in for him." The hotel security footage shows Blair coming in and out of the lobby before finally paying for a room. He'd walked in and out the lobby 5 times within the span of an hour. It also showed that he was holding a black duffel bag. Now, at 7:37 p.m., Blair leaves the hotel without ever going to his room, and he would never return. Blair was found dead on July 11th. It was near a different hotel that was under construction. This was about 0.8 miles from the hotel that he was booked into. Now, remember how he had all that money on him and all that jewelry in his fanny pack? All of his belongings were still on him, so we know that robbery wasn't a motive because his body was just surrounded by Canadian, US, and German money, and the black duffel bag was still there, which had maps and receipts in it. His pants weren't on him, his socks were turned inside out, his shoes were off, and his shirt was open, and one of his shoes was actually tucked under his head. Now, people found this really weird, but apparently when someone is dying or severely injured and they're lying down, sometimes this doesn't register with them and they tend to try and get comfy and curl up, almost as if they're about to go to sleep. So Blair must have just grabbed one of his shoes to act as a pillow. He had a ruptured stomach, which was ultimately the cause of his death. They speculate that he may have been beaten with some metal bar, or possibly could have been stomped on or even run over. There seemed to be road rash on his body. Now people think that he was hit by a car and went flying, which is what caused this road rash. His hands were deeply cut, as though he had raised his hands to protect himself, and they were slashed. Now we know that Blair had suffered from alcoholism in the past, but there were no drugs or alcohol found in his body. There was a long strand of hair found in his hand. They tested it and they got DNA, but they just couldn't find a match. Now, remember how Blair lost his keys to his second rental car? It was literally found right next to his body. Now, when the police did their investigation, they found that two ladies had spotted him at a Cracker Barrel talking to a man who is still unidentified. This could have been related, or he could have just been talking to someone randomly at the restaurant. When an autopsy was done, Blair had meat and shrimp in his stomach, so we assume he just went to the Cracker Barrel to eat something. A security guard also heard a scream from a woman around 3:30 a.m. We don't know when Blair was killed, so we really don't know if the scream and Blair's death were connected. Usually with an autopsy, they can identify the approximate time of death. So I'm not sure if investigators have this time, but just aren't releasing it, or if they just don't know. Police say that there were signs of sexual assault, but they didn't go into too much detail about this. I was watching the Unsolved Mysteries documentary about this, and investigators described his pants as almost like as if they were taken off by somebody else. Like, the tops of them were folded over and, like, inside out, and it's like somebody sort of had taken them off. Now, what's really strange is that Blair's mom came forward claiming that he had gone to the South because of the Olympic Games in Atlanta, but obviously never made it there. But she never told authorities this and only stated it years later. She never explained why she didn't say this earlier, and she couldn't explain how she knew her son was going for the Olympic. The games began on July 19th, which was 8 days after Blair's body was found. So maybe Blair told his mother this so she wouldn't know what he was actually up to, or maybe his mom just wanted an explanation for why he was traveling to the US. His stepfather, however, was acting quite strange about the whole thing. To sum it up, he said that the chances of finding Blair was remote as hell and would shut down any conversation about it. He also stated that it would be best to just leave it alone. Now, let's get into theories, because there are so many. This is definitely the type of case where there just are so many possibilities as to what happened. I'm just going to dive into a few, though. So apparently authorities believe that this is a sex-related incident, and I honestly have to agree myself. The area he was found in was a well-known area for sex workers. They believe that he was involved with a sex worker and something happened where he ended up being killed, either on purpose or by accident. There are lots of reasons as to why this makes sense to me. So, first of all, the strand of hair that was found was a long hair, and this potentially could have been from a woman. Maybe he had hired a sex worker and became abusive. He was well known for being aggressive in the past, and he had just spent the prior few days being incredibly paranoid and sleep deprived. If he had been abusive towards the sex worker, this could explain the scream that was heard by that security guard. This would also explain why his shirt was open, his pants were off, and appeared to have been taken off by somebody else, as well as his socks and shoes. Maybe a pimp heard the scream and came to protect the sex worker and brutally beat him or ran over him. And in this theory, robbery isn't the motive, so it makes sense that the money was still laying around him. The second theory is that Blair just became delusional. Nobody was actually following him, and it was all in his head. So when he was walking across a parking lot, he was just completely hit by accident. Now, this theory, I'm not sure about this because I can't see somebody zooming that fast through a parking lot. The way he was found, it all just seems so aggressive, and the way his clothes were taken off, like, it just doesn't seem to... That just doesn't make much sense to me. Another theory was that he was involved in the drug trade and owed somebody money. We know he had been convicted in the past on drug charges, so maybe he didn't have enough money and was being hunted down. This theory makes perfect sense up until the part where he was found with all his money and personal items, like, laying around him. So why would the killer not take those? I mean, unless the killer knew that by taking the money and belongings, it would give investigators more to look for. So what do you guys think? Was someone actually trying to kill Blair, or was it all in his head? So that's the case of Blair Adams, a man who became extremely paranoid and then was brutally murdered. Now remember to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at the Killer Crime Podcast. We're also starting up our Facebook group as well, so if you want to go and follow that, we can have more discussions there. If you enjoy our podcast, please don't forget to leave us a review, and remember to be loud, be fierce, and don't talk to killers. Bye, guys!